Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Move over running backs, move over wide receivers. It's time for tight end week here on the Prospects and Props podcast. Chris Schubert, Jamie Eisner back with you here once again on the show. Hope everybody had a good week and welcome in to tight end week here on the show. We've got a good one for you here this week. We've got three episodes coming out over the next couple of days discussing tight ends. Today, tight ends 35 through 17. Tomorrow, the top 16. And then our last episode for tight end week, we're going to get into the sleepers and we have some deep dive conversations to be had there. Jamie, this should be a fun one. Looking forward to it. You know the drill. I go through, I give the tiers of these names, and then we discuss players in that tier that we are interested in. So let's kick this off. Let's get this started. Tight end 35, Foster Moreau. Tight end 34, Luke Musgrave. Tight end 3, Cade Otton. Tight end 32, Logan Thomas. Tight end 31, Austin Hooper. And tight end 30, Dalton Kincaid. Obviously, I think the two rookies are the players that we should soft circle here and have a quick conversation about. Just a quick glance, not to give too much away, but Luke Musgrave is your highest ranked Green Bay rookie tight end at tight end 34. So I think that's an important piece of information to look at. And then Dalton Kincaid as your tight end 30, which I think is interesting given the context of what we think Buffalo is going to do with those two tight ends this season.
Yeah, so let's start with Kincaid because I think that's the biggest thing that's going to surprise people. He's being ranked right now as the tight end 13. He's being ranked right now as the tight end 23 in ECR. He's going as tight end 13 in ADP. And I think we need to be cautious here with Dalton Kincaid. And here's why. This is the time of year where everybody tells us all the creative ways they're going to use these players. And a lot of it doesn't come to bear fruit once we get to the season. And I would caution against just assuming that Dalton Cage is going to come in and be like a big slot as a rookie for Buffalo. I do think he's going to get opportunities in that role. I don't think he's going to flash some success. But I think we always overstate what those roles are going to be. It is difficult for rookie tight ends to come in and make major impacts. All right. It really is and always has been. And by the way, there's another tight end there that they paid recently.
What? No. I heard this guy isn't good. Every Bills fan tells me this guy stinks.
And there's also, at least for now, we'll see what happens, you know, with the next time the wind blows. But for now, the target hog is going to be Stephon Diggs. And Gabe Davis is still there. Khalil Shakir is going to be in there another year. And just there's James Cook out of the backfield. This team throws a lot. I get it. And I like Dalton Kincaid's skill set long term, but he's not going to get all of the tight end targets. Dawson Knox is not going away. So to me, I think Dalton Kincaid can be a 50 or 55 target guy this year, which is fine. But we're talking like in my numbers, I have him for 35 catches, 410 yards, and between 2 and 3 touchdowns. That's just on any given week, nothing special. And I think projecting him to do more than that, or significantly more than that, is asking a lot. And I think once we get into training camp and once we start to see games come out, we're going to understand that a lot of this conversation was overstated. So this is one of those ones, I've brought this up in other before, where I do the thing where I wipe my hands and I throw them up and I say, this is going to be somebody else's problem. Dalton Kincaid's going to be somebody else's problem for me this year.
Hey, Jamie, I have a question for you.
I hope so.
That's kind of
the cornerstone of the show.
And it's about Dalton Kincaid and it's about the Buffalo Bills. If the Bills were going to get two tight ends on the field, right? If they were going to get two tight ends on the field, what personnel grouping would they find themselves in if they got those two tight ends on the field together? What would that be? If there was somebody out there who didn't know what that would be.
12.
Maybe in 12 personnel. Okay. 12 personnel. If you had to guess the percentage of the time on first down
that the Bills were in 12 personnel last year. What do you think that number would be?
Shit, Chris. Last year, they were only dressing two tight ends. So I have no idea. 6%.
No. 6% would be the worst number in all of football. The Raiders have that honor with 7% on first down. But the Bills are second with 8%. 8% of the time on first down last year, the personnel grouping was in 12 personnel. So consider me a little skeptical.
Who was their second tight end? Was it like Tommy Sweeney? Like who? I don't even remember who it was.
Consider me a little skeptical of the idea that they are going to just, with just rose-colored glasses, be able to just instantly get this to where it needs to be. I'm a little concerned that they're going to have some struggles with this.
Yeah, and look, I do expect them to do more than that, but this is a team that did dress a lot of tight ends in recent years, and I understand they didn't have two tight ends of this caliber. If they doubled it,
it's still bottom third of the league. If they doubled their percentage of first down 12 personnel usage, it would still be bottom third in the league. That's how little they used it.
Yes. Again, I'm in wait and see mode. It's just going to be one of those things for me. Like, Dalton Kidd will not be on my team. To the Luke Musgrave point, you know, I have him here at, I'm not drafting Tucker Kraft. I like Tucker Kraft a lot. He's got a ways to go.
Sounds like you hate Tucker Kraft, to be honest with you.
Has a ways to go to adjust to the pro game and was drafted as such. And I like it long-term. Luke Musgrave's the more interesting name because he's the more like all around offensive weapon, physical freak type of player. The problem is we don't know what this offense is going to look like. We don't know what this quarterback's going to look like. And I still think there are better receiving weapons elsewhere. And I think they're going to run the ball a lot more than we were used to seeing them run the ball when Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback. So to me, when are you going to draft them? Like, you're drafting one tight end, maybe two if you're weird. Like, the shrug emoji. Like, I don't think that, here, put it this way. I don't think the Packers offense is good enough to necessitate a rookie breakout at tight end.
Okay. Yeah. I was just going to say, I just spent last week talking up Jaden Reed. Well, No.
But I talk about at tight end.
Sure. You know how much I love Musgrave.
Let's see it.
Right. I mean,
I am too.
I'm the king of the Luke Musgrave fan club.
Aaron Rodgers was still there. We're having a different conversation.
Sure. I also think
Musgrave's being ranked in the 20s and we're having a conversation about him being a sleeper, but that's not the case.
Sure. And I think there's also a pause that we need to put on this idea that this Green Bay offense is going to flourish right away, right? I think it's going to take some time for them to get to where we think they can be with Jordan.
If it even does this year.
Like, right. If it even gets off the ground. Right.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't get off the ground, I don't know if anyone's going to succeed.
No, they're going to be on the ground a lot because
the two players that will succeed are AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones. Those will be the two players that will do a lot of the succeeding
in
for
a variety
them
of ways
in 2023. It pains me to see Logan Thomas down this low, but
dude, he's just got to stay on the field.
No, I didn't disagree with the spot. I just said it pained me.
Well, pain has been something he's had to deal with a lot, which is why he hasn't been on the field. So, like,
on that note, I will get us into the next tier here. We are into the 20s. Tyler Conklin, tight end 29. Juwan Johnson, tight end 28. Hunter Henry, tight end 27. Cole Kmet, tight end 26. Hayden Hurst, tight end 25. Michael Mayer, tight end 24. Noah Fant, tight end 23. Irv Smith Jr., tight end 22. And Sam Laporta, tight end 21. And Gerald Everett, tight end 20. As we are into the 20s, Jamie's going to use one of his timeouts.
I am, even though it's going to talk about somebody in this category.
Two remaining.
We need to have a
conversation. Did you Todd Graham it? You used the timeout when you didn't need to?
Yeah, because we need to have a conversation about Cole Kmet. Because people are going to hate me.
No, Bears fans already hate us for what we say on the show. You're going to make it worse?
But here's the problem, Chris. They can't get to you. I can see Soldier Field from my apartment. So it's
they're in the TDN Premium Discord and they're in the TDN Daily live show chat, like, heckling me. So they can get to me.
I walk about town, Chris. They can find me.
It's true.
Here's the thing. I think there's no player that's going to be hurt more this year by the additions the Chicago Bears have made this offseason than Cole Kmet. I think he, as a pass-catching weapon, is just aight. He's one of the most aight players at the position in the league. He saw a decent target bump at times last year, especially late in the season. But I think the addition of DJ Moore, if we get Darnell Mooney healthy, some of the other pieces that they have there, I think Cole Kmet is going to be the one that is hurt the most from this because I don't think he has the skill set to demand targets like some of the other players in the lineup. And he was getting targets out of necessity at times last year. I don't think he's going to be a non-factor, but I'm not drafting him based on what he did late last season. So to me, he is one of those guys that, you know, he's currently being drafted as the tight end 14, which means he is going in a lot of drafts right now. And to me, he should be nothing more than waiver wire fodder. This team is not going to throw the ball very much. He's gotten a lot more weapons around him. It's a bad combination for Cole Kmet. I am completely out on Cole Kmet this year.
Jamie, I think when I ask this question, you are going to have some numbers or some information to back up this ranking and this conversation, because it feels like in order to put this player where you have them, that you would have said information and said numbers. Because I look at this situation and I see the player that was in direct competition with this player getting traded this past offseason. I see this team making a change at offensive coordinator, which makes me think that this player can get back to being the tight end that we all thought this player could be. Yet you have this player ranked as your tight end 27. I thought for sure Hunter Henry would be higher on this list, just from the fact that we no longer have defensive coaches calling plays and Jonnu Smith now in Atlanta. I thought for sure Hunter Henry would get a little bit of a bump here. No, tight end 27 for you. Explain yourself.
I was surprised at how low I had him. I'm just not sure what the kind of target share he's going to get there. Like, I have him projected right now for 50.5 targets right now. Does have some touchdown upside, especially for his position. I'll say this. I don't want to bet on a full bounce back because there's injury history, because I still, even though that we have offensive guys calling it now, I still don't love the offense as a whole, and I still need to see more from Mac Jones. I would not be shocked. Put it this way. Of the veterans that are down this low, I would not be shocked if he's one of the guys that is flirting with the top 15 tight ends at season end. Like, I can foresee a path there. I'm just not going to bet on it. I don't think the target share is going to be there enough. I don't think the explosiveness per play is going to be there enough. And I'm still not sure I trust the offense enough, even if it has to be better than it was last year just by design. So I get your point and I understand it. I just like the upside of some of these other guys a little bit more. You know, I have Hunter Henry being, again, the difference between like Hunter Henry and let's say, you know, the last guy on the list you just named was Sam LaPorta.
That's true. Yeah. Gerald Everett
is less than a point per game. So there's not a huge gap here between, you know, the 19, 20, 21 and the 26, 27s of the world.
It's as if there's like 10 or 11 good fantasy tight ends and then it falls off of a cliff.
That's the thing, man. It is tough. It is tough to like, I put it this way. And I know, you know what?
Don't do the show before the show. Don't do the show before the show.
I will save it for tomorrow's show.
Okay.
There's a line for me where it's like, if I don't get player X, Y, or Z, I don't know how many numbers it's going to go deep away for the show, I'm just not drafting one until super late. Like, there's a line for me where, like,
I'll figure it out later.
I'm not paying for the middle class of tight ends. I'm just not. Not going to do it. Can't make me do it.
Two other players, really three other players in this middle class of tight ends that I would like to discuss with you. Tyler Conklin is your highest rated Jets tight end. You have him as tight end 29. CJ Uzoma not found on your list here. I thought that was interesting. Michael Mayer, rookie tight end there in Vegas with the Raiders. You have his tight end 24. And then another rookie, Sam LaPorta, you have his tight end 21. So either of those three players stood out to me. I'll pass it over to you in whichever one intrigues you the most to talk about.
And, you know, spoiler, you know, Sam LaPorta is the highest ranked rookie tight end on my list here. I'll start with Sam because he's the first one on here. I think
you know him on a first name basis?
I don't actually.
Okay. So it'd be Mr. LaPorta or Sam LaPorta to you.
Mr. Okay.
Yeah, Mr. LaPorta. Yeah.
So here's the thing with Mr. LaPorta. I think he's got the best opportunity to get high upside targets. And what I mean by that is I love the offense that he's in. He doesn't have other pass catching tight ends anywhere near him on the depth chart, even if he has to work his way into a full time role. What, Chris? You made a face.
I just want to make sure you're not being totally disrespectful to somebody.
Okay, let me check. No, I'll wait. Go pull it up, Chris.
Let me check the depth chart.
We're going to sit here in silence and wait.
Please proceed with your point.
No, we're going to wait.
I've checked the depth chart. Please proceed with your point.
You want to name
the... it's going to be Brock Wright, James Mitchell, and Shane Zylstra. I think Sam's going to be okay.
Yeah, okay. Like I said, Chris, thank you.
Although Brock Wright had a pretty decent year last year, didn't he?
He had moments.
After Hockenson got traded, right?
He had moments. Let's
take a peek here.
But let's be realistic here. So Sam LaPorta
had four touchdowns.
Okay, cool.
Guy had 18 catches on 24 targets for 4 touchdowns. That's pretty impressive.
Adorable.
Just saying. So Sam LaPorta.
Sam LaPorta has an opportunity here to emerge. And by the way, to get high quality targets, to get those touchdowns like that went to Brock Wright last year. And I still think that tight end is going to be a key role for them. And again, the same reason why we talked about some of the other sleeper names in Detroit with Jameson Williams not there for at least 6 weeks of the year is you have Amon Ross St. Brown, you have Jahmyr Gibbs, and some guys. And I think Sam LaPorta has the skill set to find an early role early on. I still want to temper expectations. He's still going to be at absolute best the third target, if probably fourth or fifth. But I think he's going to have his moments. I think he's a guy that you're going to like in certain matchups, especially at points during the year. And I want to take the chance on the upside if I'm going to draft the guy this late here. And I got him, you know, I have him ranked 7 spots higher than the other experts of Fantasy Pros, but this is really kind of about where he's getting drafted. So I think he's appropriately valued here. You know, Michael Mayer, the other rookie down at 24, again, there's really negligible difference between these two guys in terms of skill, in terms of my fantasy point projection. But
and you have him higher than Austin Hooper. I think it's an important piece of information to share with everybody. You have him as the higher rated Vegas tight end.
I do. And I think, but this is the concern for me. And I think part of that is I think, while it's going to be close at some point, I think by the end of the year, when you're playing meaningful games, Michael Mayer is going to be the one that overtakes him, but a little bit more competition for pass catching targets. Austin Hooper is a perfectly fine pass catching tight end, by the way. Never, you know what I mean? So he is somebody that I think is going to be pressed for more competition. I think he's going to get worse quarterback play. And right now, better receiver, wide receivers that right. are in that group for now or to start the season. So to me, if I that's the kind of the tiebreaker between the two. I have them both projected to be, let me see, I think it's like super close between the two. Yeah, I mean, it's like a third of a point per game. So there's not a lot of difference between those two rookies. I just think if you want to check differentiating boxes, I think the ones that are in Sam LaPorta's favor are more likely to lead to extra fantasy point production versus the one in Michael Mayer's. And then Tyler Conklin at 29. I'm intrigued to see which tight end curries Aaron Rodgers' favor.
Well, if Tyler Conklin could stop dropping the ball, he probably could run away with the tight end one job, but
that would be nice. But let's be honest. It's like we haven't seen, outside of the crazy Robert Tonyan touchdown season, which was more about touchdowns than anything else, we haven't seen a lot of super highly fantasy productive tight ends with Aaron Rodgers. And given the other receivers that are there, and given the pass catching ability of some of the guys out of their backfield, I ranked them, but like I'm not probably going to play many Jets tight ends in fantasy this year.
The last three names for us to discuss here on this edition of the show: tight end 19, Zach Ertz, tight end 18, Greg Dulcich, and tight end 17, Jake Ferguson. Jamie, I know you want to save Jake Ferguson for the sleepers episode, so we'll put him to the side. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Greg Dulcich, because I thought this was a player that had a pretty decent rookie season, was kind of at a time when they needed him to be, because that Broncos offense got so out of sorts and so out of control, it felt like the only redeeming part and piece of that offense, the guy that was kind of holding things together, is Greg Dulcich played well when he came back. And so for me, this is a guy that I'm pretty interested to see what year two looks like for him.
I think that the interesting part about him is like he really started to have success right when everybody else gave up on the Broncos completely. And I think that's kind of playing.
Again, can you blame them?
No. Watching the Broncos was, I would have rather watched grass grow, but it was, but it's also part of the reason why.
Grass might have grown faster than how efficient the Broncos offense was in the red zone, for sure.
Yeah. And also would have been safer than the AstroTurf.
100%.
To me, he is somebody that, again, it's a new team. In the sense of like, you had a new head coach, you got new offensive coaching staff. You know, there's some differences there. Tim Patrick's coming back. So there are things to be worried about. Like there are a lot of mouths to feed in that offense. And it's an offense that's going to run the ball more than we're used to seeing. But I also know the tight end has had a significant role in Sean Payton's offense before. And, you know, you might've remembered that, that one guy, wore 80, got traded. Jimmy Graham was
that
his
guy.
Name.
Yeah.
You might remember even just the way that he has used tight end hybrid like Taysom Hill, or even, you know, other guys over the years. So I think there's still going to be a role for Greg Dulcich. I like the talent. I like them coming out, and he flashed late last season. Like he legitimately flashed a lot of successful plays. Think he can be a 70 or 80 target guy in this offense. And I like all those pieces there. So he's somebody that I'm excited about. you know, if I'm drafting super late and I'm trying to draft a couple guys and take some guys with some upside, you know, he's one that I could foresee having some success in this offense. And Zach Ertz is interesting to me because I feel like I know he's like 107. And I know this offense
give or take a few.
Yeah. And I know Trey McBride is there, but I don't think Trey McBride's that good either, to be honest with you. And I think as long as Zach Ertz is there, he can still get open, catch the ball, and fall down. Like he can still hit those staples. And I don't expect him to play a full season, but I do think he's the guy that I could see Colt McCoy or Clayton Tune leaning on early in the season. And I could see Ertz ending up finishing the year flirting with 50 catches. I know that's not exactly a huge number, but again, you know, you take DeAndre Hopkins out of this offense, there's more target share to go around. He's a veteran option. Like, I still think he can think his way into a role. Like, he still thinks the game very well, and he could do all the little things that veterans tend to do at that position when they no longer, and let's be honest, he's not like he was ever a supremely like twitchy athlete right at that spot, and he's not there now. But someone that's getting completely forgotten about that I think is, in my mind, still the tight end one in this offense until I hear otherwise. Like, I know where they spent the draft capital on Trey McBride, but that was a previous regime. Previous coach, previous GM, previous everything. And I have my concerns about what Trey McBride can be as a player. I think as long as Zach Ertz is healthy, he's going to be the tight end one. And if this team is not going to throw the ball down the field as much because they're probably physically incapable of doing so, it's going to open up Zach Ertz to be open in progressions, particularly against zone defense, where you can just, again, get open, find a soft spot, catch the ball, go down right away. And I think there are going to be certain weeks, certain matchups that he's actually, you're thinking about picking him up. So he's somebody that I think deserves a little bit more love going at tight end 28 right now that I have sneaking into my top 20.
Tight ends 35 through 17 in the books for you here on Tight End Week on the show. We do the top 16 tomorrow, and there's going to be some fun conversations inside that top 16. So you're going to want to come on back and see us again tomorrow. In the meantime, please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast wherever you are listening to your podcast. Share the show with a friend, coworker, loved one. Helps us out a ton. Continues to grow this show as we get into the meat of the offseason and getting very, very close to the start of the regular season for both college and pro football. So we're looking forward to it here on the show. You've got the video version of the show over on our YouTube channel. Just search up the Draft Network on YouTube. While you're over there, give the video a thumbs up, leave a comment, subscribe, turn on the notification bell so you know when we go live, you know when a new video drops, you get all that stuff for you instantaneously. We would appreciate that very much. We continue Tight End Week tomorrow, the top 16 tight ends for you, for us to discuss on tomorrow's show. Everybody have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you all tomorrow.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.